Somebody say amen. Amen. Brother, you say, what do you think about all this? I love it. Amen. I am loving it. Praise God. And by the way, what we've done here tonight is absolutely scriptural. Amen. And every once in a while you cross paths with those, I don't think you ought to glorify someone or you ought not do that. Wait a minute now. Then you're going to have to take a few verses out of the Bible if you do that, all right? What does it say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? Let me remind you. He said, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Listen to this. And esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And then, of course, he did remind us, he said, and to be at peace among yourselves, amen. 1 Timothy 5:17, he said, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Now, we know what the Bible says about our parents. He said to honor your mother and your father. Is that right? But he said those that labor among you in the word and doctrine, he said, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Then you remember over there, Epaphroditus in Philippians chapter 2. Here's what Paul said about him. Receive him therefore in the Lord with gladness and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. Then Proverbs reminds us, he says in chapter 3 in verse 27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in thy power of thine hand to do it. Amen. Well, I mean, I tell you, esteeming them very highly in love for their work's sake, to be counted worthy of double honor, to hold such in reputation. You say, what's wrong with that? Nothing, amen. And brother, I tell you, I thank God. Now, I tell you, I love these men and then all the others that you've brought up, brother, through my life. I mean, I was sitting there thinking, I'm over there squalling. That's crying for you Northerners. But I mean, I'm over there squalling and crying and just thanking God. But I love Brother Neil. Oh, brother, like a father to me. Amen. And I mean, just family. Their family is my family. I love them, pray for them. But boy, the strength and the help that he's given me. Amen. And then Brother Gray. Oh, but I remember going out my first time to the soul winning clinic. I didn't have enough money to drive. I didn't have a car that would make it. And then I didn't have enough money to buy a plane ticket, so I got the bright idea of taking a bus from at that time Riverdale, Georgia, all the way out to Texas. Amen. Can I just say, never take a bus from Georgia to Texas. I mean, number one, you go to sleep and you wake up, and I mean, there's people like right there, at, you know, like going through your stuff and right there at you, you know, looking at you, and you're like, what's going on? I know right now you're thinking, I ain't taking no, but I mean, hey, you got to do what you got to do, right? Amen. But I got out there, and I mean, same thing, preacher. I mean, here, don't you like going someplace where they preach you under the pew? I mean, brother, when they're doing it, I felt like going out there was like whenever the rooster took the hen over to the ostrich farm and just said, all right, ladies, I don't want to scare you, but I want to show you what can be done. And, well, that's the way I felt going out there to the soul winning clinic. I'm telling you, I mean, brother, seeing all that big work and what God could do. And, brother, it helped me, by the way. It helped me, amen. And then Brother Chitty, he's like my great, 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 great granddaddy, amen. And I love him, amen. And I'm telling you, hey, he just doesn't quit, does he? 50 years out there, and then Brother Blanton, I mean, he was at our church when Brother Neil brought him, or I don't know if he brought Brother Neil brought him, I'm not really sure, but Brother came, and I mean, boy, just a blessing, and again, hey, just following his preacher around still, I mean, all these years, hey, just a faithful servant, amen. And you know, in Matthew, you can turn to Matthew chapter 25 if you'd like to, Matthew chapter 25. All of this, you know, the preacher just said, look, he said, we're doing some honoring of people. He said, get what the Lord lays on your heart. Amen. And, well, man, I'm telling you, it's just going along with all this stuff. Right here in Matthew, we read the account of the steward, all right, that is gone. Well, in fact, if you look down in verse 14, it said, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Well, we know our Savior's in a far country right now. And by the way, he's delivered unto us the goods. Amen. We got everything we need. We got the Word of God, the house of God, the man of God. Well, we got the Spirit of God, everything we need to do the work of God where we're at or wherever you're at. Amen. But he says this, "And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them 5 other talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he gained also other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more.'" Now listen to this. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Lord, would you help me tonight as I preach? Lord, would you take the word of God, and Lord, would you, Lord, magnify yourself? But Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, that we, Lord, here, Lord, even now, Lord, on this earth tonight, we're just trying to say to some precious servants of God, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But Lord, to hear you say that one day, oh Lord, what a day that'll be. But Heavenly Father, would you bless now? Just take your word and Lord, allow us, Lord, to see what you'd have for us. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I'm going to preach just a few minutes on a well-done ministry. Amen. A well-done ministry. To hear "well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, to hear "well done" means it's got to be done well. Is that right? I mean, it's got to be done by the book. Now, we know we're going to stand in front of God. We all have to stand before our blessed Lord one day. Is that right? The Bible says over in 2 Corinthians 5:10, he said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done." Now, you remember over there in Revelation, every one of those churches, what would he say to them? "I know thy works. I know thy works." Now, right now, from the day you get saved until the day you die, the works that you do, you'll stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, we understand that right now. We're rendering our works, whatever we're doing. We're pastoring the church, assistant pastor, doing nothing. Amen. But whatever you're doing, amen. I'm just saying that, but we'll stand before the Lord with all that or nothing. We'll stand before the Lord with that, amen. And now look, all of us will. We've got people here from all over. I mean, we've even got people from Alabama, right? So we got people from Alabama, we got people from Georgia, we got people from Florida, Ohio. I don't even know all the states, amen. There's people from big cities and then people from little bitty towns right here. We've got Southerners here, amen. The saved people, praise God. And then we got the Northerners. No, I'm just saying we're glad to have everybody, amen. But here we'll all stand before the Lord one day. The preacher said a minute ago, well, these are just a handful, and these men of God that, boy, are worthy, by the way, of the honor that they're being given, amen. And by the way, you say, putting their name on a building or doing something like that, that's just a good way of remembering them. Hey, by the way, they will not be forgotten, amen. Now, I know the Lord's not going to forget them, but hey, that's just a way of showing down here, brother, their life and how they've lived. Brother, what an honor, amen, that God will bless them. But hey, I'm just saying the Lord sees that. We render our works, but then up in heaven, God records our works. And then one day at that judgment seat of Christ, we can be rewarded for those works. when you read your Bible, you'll see that, hey, we know that he looks at the manner of the works, right? In other words, it's got to be what we do. It needs to be done by the book. Amen. Whatever we do, it's got to be just, hey, line up with this King James Bible. Amen. And brother, just live the book. Live the book. And brother, that's what will bless God. That will honor God. But it's not just the manner of the works where we stand before God, but the Bible says he'll judge our works of what sort they are. It says in 1 Corinthians, that's the motive of your work. You're like, well, preacher, it doesn't matter what you do and why you do it. All right, walk to the house, get you some flowers, and walk in there with your wife and just throw them on the table and say, here you go. Oh, your motive don't matter. Yeah, it do. Because you take those flowers in there, hey, and do like most of us, go ahead and get on your knees. Oh, honey, I'm sorry. And boy, she'll take them in and she'll accept them a whole lot better, won't she? Amen. And but the motive of your work, but then what we just read right here, the magnitude of your work will be judged. It's not how big or how small. Church, look up here. The Lord is going to judge me, and he'll judge you individually on what he put in your hand to do. What did God put in your hand to do for him? Your church isn't my church. This church isn't my church. My church may not be your church. But you understand what God put in your hand to do. By the way, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a church member, whether you're a bus worker, whether you work in the nursery, it does not matter. Amen. Hey, I believe that without a shadow of a doubt, brother, everybody ought to try to live their life so that one day the Lord can say, well done. The Lord can say, well done. I like it now. I like it when I look at all the boy. When I look at these all these preachers and all these workers, and I heard that testimony. I mean, where's that sister? Where's our sister? What's her name again? Miss Linda. See, I don't know Miss Linda Nelson, but when they're talking about Miss Linda Nelson, I'm thinking about Miss Linda Johnson. See, that's the lady that picked me up on a church bus. Her and her husband, and you don't know them. You've never met Brother Johnny and Miss Linda. Brother Johnny's now with the Lord, but Miss Linda, we'll call her, you know, me and my wife, and we'll be on the phone now with her, and we talk to her a little bit. She's got a little dementia. She repeats herself a little bit, and of course, I fit right in with her, you know. I really enjoy it. We enjoy a conversation, full conversation. My wife just leaves. I talk to her about an hour. We both don't remember what we said. It's wonderful, amen. But I love that dear family. Hey, week after week coming down to our house, hey, knocking on our door and picking us up and bringing me and my brothers to the house of God. Hey, where I got saved, where my brothers got saved. I mean, where God saved my daddy, God saved my stepmama, and God changed our life. Hey, you ought to have been down there when we poured all the liquor out down to that bar that was downstairs in our basement, amen, because Jesus passed by. You say, can God still do that? God can do it now, just like he did it then, amen. Hey, the bus ministry still works, praise God. And caring about people like you did, sister, still works. You know, you don't got to be the. I've been pastoring my church 25 years. Amen. They don't know any better up there in Georgia. Yeah, they haven't found out yet. Amen. You know, and what a joy! What a joy! And I want to meet the Lord, and I want to hear that well done. But I tell you, part of pastoring a church is trying to help people to grow in the Lord and help them to get to a place where they can stand before the Lord one day, where God can say, well done to you. Isn't that what we do, preachers? Aren't we trying to get people ready to have a good judgment seat of Christ? I mean, when one day, brother, when the Lord, here, I want the Lord pleased with our life now, but for one day for him to say those words, well done. But I see characteristics in the Word of God, but I see characteristics. Brother Chitty, I see what I'm about to preach. I see that in your life. Brother Gray, I see what I'm about to preach, and I've seen it through these years in your life. And I mean, Brother Neil, I've seen that. I've watched that. You know, I study people. You watch them. You listen to them. And it's not just a one-time, oh, boy, that was a good message. But you see their life, and you see their stand, and you see their heart. And you see that investment. You see all these things I'm about to. By the way, this very same things that we can see in their life. Hey, if we began to look in the lives of some of you that are sitting here, we'd see it, those same characteristics. You can jot these down if you'd like to. But I say that someone, if you're going to have a well-done ministry. And by the way, to minister means you serve. Is that right? But you have to surrender somewhere. You have to surrender. You have to get to the place. Now when you read your Bible, you'll see the Apostle Paul, when he got saved over in Acts chapter 9, the Bible says that, is that all right if I move that, preacher? I don't want to do something where I get kicked out again, you know. All right, that's good, amen. Look, hey, I got fancied up to come here, amen. I've already been to Walmart. I've got my brand new pair of shoes on. I got down there $30 a little while ago. These are not, how long have I had them on? 41 hours or so. Hour long shoes right here, amen. But I did that for you, amen. All right. I did it for the Lord. But really, my shoes were all messed up and everything. But these look pretty good, amen. Brother Donnelly, they're not wingtips and not leather and not real leather anyway. But they'll last me this week, all right. And you say, well, what about when you preach somewhere? Next week, I'll go to Walmart again, amen. I'll get another pair. I'll see what the Lord does, all right. But right here, the Apostle Paul, even when the Lord came to him and appeared to him on the Damascus Road, he says, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now, if you're going to do anything for the Lord, you're going to have to get to a place in your life where you and the Lord, I mean, you and him, where you say to God, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, in other words, God's got a plan, and his plan's better than your plan, amen. His will's better than your will. His way's better than your way. But you got to be willing to get to a place to say, hey, we all have our dreams. As a young man, kids, you're going through school, and you're getting up, and you'll get out of high school, some of you, and then you'll go to college, and you'll do all kind of things. But wait, you've got plans for your life. But I want to tell you something. God's got a better plan for your life. Well, preacher, but I can make this money and I can do this and I can do that. Yeah, but God could say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, one day. And I tell you what, I'd rather have the Lord say that to me than some man in a suit paying me a lot of money. Somebody that, oh, well, I live my life for a career. I live my life for this. How about living your life for Christ and seeing what God Almighty can do with you? Amen. But you have to have that time. You have to have that place. And it would all be different. We could all tell about it. When the Lord dealt with us and when the Holy Spirit got us to that place where we said, Lord, what you want is more important than what I want. And God, what you have for me, Lord, is going to be greater than what I have for me. And to say, Lord, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I look at Isaiah. Isaiah got to the place where he saw the need. And the Lord was looking for someone. By the way, the Lord's still looking for a man. God's still looking for a lady. We're not sitting here today, well, the Lord's work is done. No, God's got more to do than he's got people to do it. And he's still looking for a servant. And right here, I see Isaiah. He said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Well, that cry still goes out. And if the Lord is looking for someone, maybe he's looking for a choir member in the church. Maybe he's looking for a Sunday school teacher. Maybe he's looking for a bus worker, a bus driver. Maybe he's looking for someone to teach in the college. He's always looking for a soul winner, say amen. So he's looking, boy, but the Lord's looking for that, right? Well, when the Lord looks down and he looks, where is he going to look? He's looking amongst us. He's looking amongst the saved. And that cry still goes out, whom shall I send? And then here's the question, who will go for us? See, there's got to be somebody that still says, Lord, and sticks your hand up and says, here am I, send me. Here am I, use me. Here am I. By the way, sometimes you hear your pastor say that. He'll come to the pulpit. Well, we need some this or we need that. Or we need someone to help here, need someone to help there. Hey, don't make it be that the preacher's got to pull teeth to get you to volunteer. Go ahead and throw both hands up and say, I may not be the best, but I'll try it, amen. Hey, God can use you, amen. But you've got to be willing to do that. The Son of God himself, when you read over in Luke, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And I mean, to get to a place where I've been saved and I was in the church, you know, they picked us up on the buses. My family had gotten in and now we're all coming. And boy, I'm teenager, then graduating. And then now I'm working a job. I'm trying to look at what I need to do. And you know, what the Lord wants. He's already called me to preach. And I'll be honest, I knew preachers that they were called to preach, but, you know, preaching was kind of a sideline. Just wasn't the main thing. It was a thing, but not the thing. And so, I'm that job looks good. Boy, that career, all of that. And boy, I remember a service one night where our preacher was just preaching on Calvary and preaching about what the Son of God did. I remember Preacher Moore, I remember him take here. That was a service where he took his belt off and he's whipping the pulpit. And he's talking about the Son of God and the stripes they laid on him. And he's talking about the suffering and what our Savior did. And I'm just telling you, through that message, I got my eyes on the Son of God in a way I don't know that I ever had. And I mean, I had all these thoughts of what I was going to do and what I wanted to do. That's all it was, what I wanted, how I wanted it, where I want, almost like I would pick and choose. But that night I borrowed the words of the Lord and I crawled down into an altar and I said, Lord, from this day forward, not my will, but thine be done. To the Lord I say, and whatever, Lord, it does not matter. Lord, whenever, it does not matter. By the way, wherever, it does not matter. I don't pick and choose that anymore, Lord, you do. And I'm just telling you, I'm from that surrendering, and I mean getting to a place where I said, Lord, I throw up the white flag and I surrender all, and Lord, it's all yours. But hey, these men have done that. Our sister has done that. Brother Brandon has done that. Have you done that? And let me just say, you say, well, I do that once. I don't know that you just surrender once. I don't know that I can look back. As a teenager, I said, Lord, I find myself through the years, hey, back at an altar, I find myself on my knees saying, Lord, afresh and anew, I want to give Terrell Hopkins to you. And Lord, I don't want to hold anything here. If we're not careful, we begin. Let me ask you something. Does God know your age? Okay, so here, we throw that up. Well, now look how old I am. Come on now. Now don't look at me like that. I'm not that old. I just look like I'm that old, amen. And, old, decrepit, and ready to die. Well, not there yet. All right. They say you got 1 foot in the grave. Well, I don't know. I mean, we all got 1 foot in the grave. We're all getting ready there. But here, God knows your age, and let me help you. You're like, well, I'd serve the Lord, but I got this bursitis. And I just, preacher, you know, my back, preacher, you know, I remember a dear sister in our church doing that. I remember I can say it now, she's dead, right? Miss Piercy. Miss Piercy, amen. And oh, she had a voice. I mean, she was an older dear sister, and when she talked, she'd say, I can't be there tonight. Yeah, well, and she tell me all what was going on, and I'm like, well, God bless you, sister. You know, I love you, and you just, you know, whatever you want to do, you're going to do it anyway. And so you just go ahead. And, you know, out of the compassion of my abundance of compassion in my heart, don't laugh out loud. Out of the abundance of compassion of my heart, I just said, well, God bless you, sister. Well, we had a pipe break in the church on a Sunday afternoon, and of course, I had no assistance. I'd only been at the church a little while, and so of course, I'm heading over to Walmart trying to find stuff, fix the pipe, try to keep church from flooding and all that. I get over to Walmart, and if I'm lying, I'm dying. I get over there, and I come down an aisle, and I mean, I see somebody climbed up on the third shelf, reaching up, grabbing something, and it was Miss Piercy. Miss Piercy. And now, you know, I should have just said, oh, I'll bow. I can't say nothing. I couldn't do that. Brother Donnelly, I'm just sorry. I edged down there real close, you know, and I was like, Miss Piercy. She fell off, broke her back again, and it was all, no, she didn't, amen. She said, she got down and was, I mean, she's up there just trying to get something off the shelf, but I mean, obviously her back was healed. But here she came down and again, her statement was just, hello, preacher. And all of a sudden, it back hit her again. And the bursitis flared up again right there in that aisle. Amen. And what has this got to do with this message? I can't remember. All right, I'm not that old, but I tell you, she didn't surrender. Amen. That's all I can tell you. Let me give you something here. Everybody turn to Mark 10. Look at this. Mark chapter 10. Don't look at me. You've all got your Miss Piercy. Amen. And you're thinking of her right now in your church. You know who I'm talking about. Amen. Look in Mark chapter 10. Look with me in verse 42, if you will. Mark chapter 10, verse 42. Well, in fact, I'll just tell you here, the James and John come to the Lord and say, Lord, we want to sit on your right hand and on your left. We want to, when we get to heaven, be on your right hand and your left. And the Lord is like, well, that's not mine to give. And then, of course, the others hear it. And they are just aggravated at him, you know. I mean, all these spiritual disciples. Well, the Bible says here, if we look in, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them in verse 42, called them to him and saith unto them, you know, they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But he is about to give them a lesson in servitude. One of the characteristics is surrender, but one of the characteristics of somebody that God says well done to is they are a servant. They're a servant. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. The Son of God lived for others. The Son of God died for others. The Son of God was willing to be a servant. The Son of God is trying to teach these disciples something, the same thing he's still trying to teach me and still trying to teach you. But in the lives of all of these tonight that were honored, there's no doubt about it. One common theme that we would all say is they're servants. Does not matter the position. And I'll get into that. I'll just show you. Jesus said that, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And yet, see, men want a position. We want a title. I'm just here. That's the important thing, right? You know, will you call me this? Will you give me an office here? Will you put my name on it here? It'd be bad that with them doing all this and honoring all these tonight, and for someone to sit there and think, well, I wonder what building they'll put my name on. I'll tell you what building it'll be. Y'all know how to build outhouses? Say amen. Hey, if you're thinking that's where your name ought to be, amen. Don't look at me like that. All right, amen. But the position here, God wants to see how you serve in that position. It's not the position, it's how you serve in it. Are you a pastor? You say, well, that's a wonderful position. How do you serve in that position? How do you serve others? Well, I'm an assistant pastor. Great, then how do you serve others? Well, I'm over the youth. I didn't ask you what you're over. I said, how do you serve? In other words, how do we serve? I mean, that's really what the Lord sees. That's what he's looking at. We often name the, you know, that we live in a day where the kids come out of college and they're looking for what I call the package. You know, well, give me this church where there's no trouble. Somebody's already, you know, they've already built it. They've already done all this. I need a well-oiled machine that's running, you know, and all this kind of, I mean, number one, you know, I mean, God puts you where he wants you. But here, and oh, by the way, let me make sure I talk to the men. Let's see, what's the salary going to be? Well, preacher, you got to know that. I didn't know that. When I came to our church, they said, we want to talk to you about salary. I'm like, I ain't talking to you. You're like, well, you're dumb. Thank you. I said, I don't talk to you about that. I said, why? What do you mean you're not going to talk to us about it? I said, if the Lord wants me here, I said, I'm coming. And I said, I'm coming whether you give me a dime or whether you give me $1 million. here, because money is not here. It's not, well, you got to take care of your family. If God calls me there, God's going to take care of me there. And here, I mean, I've got enough sense. You know, I'm not going to sit there at home when I'm able to do whatever. You say, well, I'm just going to trust God. Maybe he'll drop the money in the living room. No, I went and got me a loan when I started me a loan maintenance company and made a mess of money. Say amen. But I helped the church and did that until I had to do it. You're bivocational. No, I'm about quad vocational, but it doesn't bother me a lick. Amen. You say, why? Doing it for the Lord. Amen. You know. But here, all I'm saying is you're waiting on something like that. What happened to God getting a hold of our heart in that place where we thought, Lord, I'm not worthy to do anything. Lord, I know I'm nothing. God, but you're everything. Lord, the truth is, hey, you know, pastoring 25 years, you must know a lot about pastoring. I know a lot about what not to do. Say amen. I know about here. I can write a good book on that. I can probably give you a lot of things on that. But whatever we've done good is because I did what he said to do. And I got far enough down where I could say, Lord, I don't want to make this decision. I want you to. God, I don't want to start this unless you want us to. We sold a place and moved 30 miles and built a church. I wouldn't tell anybody to do that, but God told us to do it. But here, he told us to do it. And why in the world would you do that? Because I'm the servant and he's the master. Why should you do whatever it is you do? Because you're the servant and he's the master. We serve our Savior, is that right? I mean, if you're going to do anything, you better be doing it for him. I mean, we serve our Savior. He's worthy to be served. And I don't care how old you are, how young you are. Brother, if you can get your eyes on him and know, Lord, I'm doing this for you. If you're singing for him, playing an instrument for him, if you're serving for him, they're cooking out here for him, you're pastoring for him. Whatever we do, we're doing it for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But in the midst of that, in fact, that's what it says in Colossians, for you serve the Lord Christ. We know that. But you can't serve Christ without serving others and serving the saints and serving those that are around you. We honored
these.
What did you hear tonight? You heard about not who they are. You heard about what they did for others. That's what marked their ministry. That's what marked their life. It's something we know. We want that plaque, you know, hung on ourselves like we did something. When truly, you really won't hear. You want recognition. The Lord said this. He said, you really want to be great. He said, then you need to be a servant to all. We got a little boy in our church, and you saw him. He comes and he's able to come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and he's about this tall, little black boy in our church, and he's been riding the bus, I mean, for like years. And he comes, and he's got his suit coat's too big. I mean, it hangs down a little bit. We'll go get him a coat. And I don't know what he does with the ones we get him. He gets that one that's too long, you know. And we'll bring him in, and he's everybody's son. He's everybody. We all love him. We came in, you know, we came in Sunday night, you know. He's sitting out there. He's tried to tie his tie. And I mean, it's in a knot. It's like that big, you know. And it's tied up. It's up like up around his ears, and it's all this. So what do you do here? Me and him sat out there. I said, "Hey, man, let's me and you. Let me work on something for you." Well, I take his tie off, tie it, and we fix his collar and put it under there. See, he don't know how to do that. But everybody, we love him. What are you here for? Oh, you're the pastor. I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve that boy. That's why I'm here. Well, but you've got a lot of ministry. I know. Then, as a pastor, then I'm their minister. So I'm here to serve. My men are right here. Then I'm here to serve Brother Paul. I'm here to serve Wade and serve Chandler and serve Brother Chris. But here, serve their families. And these kids we bring in on the buses to serve them. We serve the saints. When I look at the life of somebody that God says well done to, it's somebody here. You've lost track of yourself. And everything you do is now about the people around you. Here you serve the saints. You serve, by the way, you serve with your shepherd. Everybody here is, you either pastor a church or you help somebody pastor their church. And you can be a blessing or you can be a grief, you know, for your pastor to pastor. Now, think about all the blessings, preacher. Look at them right now. Look at them right there. and then look at the ones that are agreed. No, don't do that. Amen. No, don't look at them right there. Amen. They'll see you. Amen. But the Lord, here, I'm just saying, you can be a blessing. We serve with our man of God, and the Lord helps us to do that. I love my preacher. He went on to be with the Lord this year, or earlier this year. And, oh, I miss him. Man, I miss him. My man of God. I mean, you know, he's the one that I was raised under, the only two churches I've ever been in, my home church and then the one I'm pastoring now. And so, the example, the man that poured his life, not just into me, but, I mean, into thousands of others. Amen. Now, I want to keep going because I loved him. And because he poured so much into me, I want to do it for my Savior, but I thank God for my shepherd. And what a joy. I just say, let me just, and that goes into the next thing. You can't serve the Lord and hear him say, well done. If you're going to be the servant you ought to do, then let me tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take sacrifice. Yeah. Write it down. It takes sacrifice. Jesus said again, he says, and to give his life a ransom for many. 1 John 3:16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down, he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Let me tell you why you're here tonight. You're here because somebody sacrificed for you. You're here because somebody, I preach a message on godly handprints and I use that where you have to look at your life. There's no self-made men. There's no self-made ministries. Every one of us are the result of the sacrifice that others poured into our life. Is that right? Maybe your mom and dad. How many of you have had a godly mom and daddy? Raise your hand. Oh, man, then you can remember them pouring into your life. How many of you had, and of course you do now, but you had a man of God that, boy, he took time with you and he poured his life. He poured himself into you. Some of you think about those that mentored you, your mentors, those that maybe you spent time with in the church. And I look around, not just the mentors, the members. You know, that I spent time with. You'll never know Newman Samples. Newman Samples taught the teenage boys when I first got in church. He's pastored a church out in Rosemary, Georgia for years now. And him and his wife are older. But I remember that man. You'll never know him. You'll never know him. Brother Paul, you know who I'm talking about. But here, Brother Newman Samples, hey, he sacrificed and he just took time with us teenage boys. Since you were talking about finding somebody that would love you, hey, no doubt, that's one of them church members. All he did was just taught us and loved us. Well, it's just a Sunday school teacher. Not to me. Hey, he's one of those that I look to and I say, thank you, Lord, for his sacrifice. I think about the Paul would say many others also, just the many others that maybe, hey, that touched our life. And I mean, their godly handprints they left on you, you'll never be the same because of them. Now the Lord, by the way, the Lord did that. He's our first. He's the one we look to. But think about it. God put those people in your life. God put you underneath those men of God. God allowed that. Why? So that you could be what God wants you to be, amen. But their sacrifice matters. Their sacrifice. But when you sacrifice, let me tell you what you do. You leave, you say, you open your heart. You open your life up to somebody. You open your church up to somebody. You're opening yourself up for a world of hurt. Now, I'd love to tell you that everybody we've ever sacrificed for, I'd love to tell you that they all, man, they're all living for God. Man, let's get them all stand up here and tell about what God's doing in their life. But you don't sacrifice so that they all do that. You just sacrifice. You don't pick and choose who you sacrifice for. We're servants of all. That means we sacrifice for all. We don't say, well, I'll sacrifice a pretty good bit for you, but I won't sacrifice much for you. Well, I'll sacrifice. You see, we don't pick and choose like that. We sacrifice with those that God lets cross our paths. And I don't care. I don't care if it's a bus kid. I don't care if it's a church member. I don't care if it's a preacher friend. I don't care who it is. We sacrifice for those that are around us. But when you do that here, that means that when you do that, they're all not going to stay with you. Paul would say, "Demas hath forsaken me." He took it personal. I mean, he had sacrificed much for Demas. He had spent a lot of time with Demas. He had poured himself into Demas, but he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And some do leave you, some do forsake you, some change, and then they attack you. Oh, preacher, come on now. This is all about others. And you're supposed, well, look, you can't preach on others without saying there's some of them others too. I wish they all stayed with you. Here, I wish they all were a blessing to you. Hey, some are a bunch of headaches. Say amen. Don't look at me like that. Well, no, not to me. I'm so spiritual, they're not headaches. They just make, you know, I get migraines. Well, whatever, you know. Some are headaches. Hey, some are heartaches. I know that. But can I help you with what God does? You know, there will be some that go the other way. And there are those that are no longer with you. There are those that do not back you. There are those that now, that after you poured and you sacrificed and you did all of that, brother, they don't want to call your name. They don't have anything to do with you. And that's all right. Because you know what God does? There's always going to be those that stay. There's always going to be those that are loyal. Say amen. There's always going to be those. You can stand up. Come up here with me, brother. Amen. There'll be some of these Montgomerys, amen, hey, that stay around, praise God, that stand up and say, thank you, preacher. Thank you for your investment. Thank you for what you've done. Hey, that didn't leave, that are here now, serving God and serving with you, son. See, God did that. God gives you some of those. And when God gives you, hey, it don't take many of those. Hey, just one can be enough to make you go on. But you know what? You see that one that does get help. You see that one that does get saved. You see that one that God changes their life. And you know what you say? I think I'll sacrifice a little more. I think I'll give a little bit more. I think I'll do a little bit more. Amen. I think I'll just keep going on myself. Amen. And by the way, that gets to the last thing here. I know, you know, ain't that good when the preacher says, I'm the last. You know, I'm looking, where's the preacher's daughters? Yeah, they're back there. Yeah, they've already gave me the, here, they've already gave me the Baptist wave, you know. They're like, I know there's fried chicken out there. All right. Your daughters. I know, amen. Write this down, 1 Corinthians 15:58. But be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. But be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You got to be in these men, these people, you can be steadfast. Amen. Steadfast. I'm saying, brother, will you just keep on going? Amen. Man, you keep on and you keep on. You keep on surrendering. You keep on sacrificing. You keep on serving God, and you see what God can do with you. Amen. We've only got one short life. What are you going to let God do with you? What are we going to do for our Lord and our Savior? Amen. And as long as we're drawing air, we can still do something for our God. There's no time to quit. There's no time to lay down. I looked up the word steadfast. Now, I'm telling you now, you say, why'd you look it up? Because I'm not smart enough to know exactly what it means. So I looked it up, and I hear steadfast. These are words that go along with this. Loyal, faithful, committed, reliable, steady, true, constant, staunch, trustworthy, firm, resolute, stalwart, stout. I like this, relentless, amen. Implacable, single-minded, uncompromising, unchanging, unswerving, steadfast, amen. I'm telling you, you look at the life, you see somebody that just doesn't quit. I look at Brother Chitty, hadn't quit. I look at Brother Gray, hadn't quit. I see Brother Neil, you hadn't quit, amen. I see these others, they hadn't quit. You know what they're doing? They want to reach one more. They want to help one more. They want to get one more. I don't know what God will use you to do, but what if God lets you get just one, amen? By the way, if you can get one, you can get two. If you can get two, you can get 10. You get 10, you can get 20. You get 20, you can get 50. You get 50, you get 100. You get 100, you get 500. You get 500, you get 1,000, amen? Hey, God can do that, but you got to be steadfast. No time to quit. No time to compromise. No time to calm down. Amen. Hey, what are you going to do for the Lord? Do you want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to be his servant. I want to surrender and say, God, not my will, Lord, but thine. You got here.
You got Terrell Hopkins, and Lord, you got all of me. You got my wife, you got my family. Lord, it's all yours. And God, whatever you want to do with it. Maybe that's what you need tonight. Maybe tonight you ought to get down and say, Lord, then I want to raise my white flag again and just say, I surrender all. Maybe that matter of serving, we know we're servants, but sometimes God just has to remind us of the servant he wants us to be. Bow your head and close your eyes.